This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson. The parents of a man whose body was found in Bethel in November 2023 under suspicious circumstances are suing the city of Bethel for alleged negligence, discrimination, and emotional distress. 20-year-old Michael Isaac was first reported missing on November 2, 2023. Isaac arrived in Bethel from the Lower Yukon River community of Marshall the previous day and had only planned to stay in Bethel for one night. Following a month-long search effort, his body was located under the ice in a slough on the east end of town by Bethel Search and Rescue volunteers using an underwater sonar device. According to a civil complaint filed last week in Bethel Court, the City of Bethel and Bethel Police Department allegedly caused Isaac's parents severe emotional distress with their handling of the case. The complaint asserts that the lead investigator assigned to the case, Dylan Floyd, and former police chief Leonard Hicks failed to take potential leads provided by Isaac's parents seriously, including ignoring phone calls and treating Isaac's parents disrespectfully. The complaint says information that was ignored includes an abundance of evidence amassed by Isaac's parents pointing to two potential suspects in their son's death. According to the complaint, multiple requests by Isaac's parents to the Bethel Police Department to have their son's case referred to the Alaska State Troopers have been unsuccessful. Requests to the department to work with a federal Indigenous Missing Persons Resource Group were also unsuccessful. Isaac's parents are requesting damages in excess of $100,000. They are being represented by Palmer-based attorney Deborah Berlinski. An initial hearing in the case had not been set as of Monday. According to the Bethel Police Department, the investigation into Isaac's death remains open. Reached Monday, Isaac's parents declined to comment on the suit. The City of Bethel, through legal representation, also declined to comment. Storm-impacted communities on the Kuskokwim Delta coast and upriver will have additional opportunities to harvest moose, according to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Philip Perry is the management coordinator for the Department of Fish and Game in Bethel. He says that the department wanted to do what it could to help while still healthily managing the moose population.
You know, we look at what the moose population is, what could be harvested if there's more additional harvest that could happen this year. And that's where we came up with 100 permits.
Fish and Game is offering 100 permits for a portion of Unit 18, beginning at the mouth of the Kuskokwim River and extending up towards Kalskag. The area is also commonly referred to as Zone 1 of the RM615 Moose Hunt area. The permits can be obtained by any Alaska resident and are not limited to residents of the Unit 18 region. The department announced Monday that the extension is intended to support communities impacted by ex-Typhoon Halong, which devastated parts of the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta earlier this month. Many residents report significant losses to subsistence food stores, in addition to the loss of homes and property. ADF&G cited the threat of food insecurity going into the winter season as part of the reason for the extension. But Perry says many of the people who suffered flood damage to their subsistence food stores in their homes and freezers have evacuated out of the region. Instead, Perry says extending the hunt is in part meant to allow people to lend a hand. He says he's received calls from people across the region asking to hunt an extra moose to gift to storm-impacted families.
If you shoot an extra moose this year, I know there's some infrastructure to get a hold of people and be able to give meat that may be able to get distributed to some of the other places where people are going to be this winter.
Permits will be issued online at hunt.alaska.gov starting at 9 a.m. on November 5th. All Alaska residents are eligible to participate if they have not harvested a moose since July 1st of this year and possess a valid Alaska resident hunting license. The extended season will run until January 19th. The bag limit is one moose, and proxy hunting is allowed for the hunt. Many of those from Western Alaska, devastated in the aftermath of Typhoon Halong, are sheltering in Anchorage, some at the Alaska Airlines Center and others downtown at the Egan Convention Center. Tessie Chanarak is one of several counselors from South Central Foundation who has been stationed at the Egan Center, where she's known by the kids as Terrific Tessie. Chanarak's family is from Tuksuk Bay, so she understands the culture shock families are experiencing, suddenly transported from the quiet of the tundra to the sounds of traffic and urban life. The counselors have been trying to keep the kids busy, to distract them from their homesickness. They've filled their days with games and an early Halloween celebration that has included face painting and costumes that the counselors have rounded up. KNBA's Rhonda McBride talked with Chanarak about how families are coping.
How long have you been here, and what capacity are you working here at the Egan Center?
Most of the folks here came from my region. My relatives, my cousins, my uncles, numerous uncles, aunts, and they're my neighboring villages out there. So as a Yupik speaker, fluent in writing, we're put here to greet them.
It seems like there are all kinds of tables here for medical care, for support systems, the school district. And you said that the mood is very upbeat in the daytime when people are busy, but what do you see at night?
Well, at nighttime, so you know, it's sleepy time, and their little boys and girls they're sad, they're homesick. They'd rather be home where they had their comfy homes right there, and they're grieving.
Have you been working with the kids a lot?
Every morning I'll check in with them to see how are they doing or what are their needs. There was needs for more blankets when they first came in, need for strollers, need for butt paste for babies, and everything that they need is like they'll come in. I'll make sure they have what their needs are.
And I guess you've been trying to keep the children occupied.
Well, you know, Halloween is one of the fun seasons of the year because lots of candy and they get to do some costumes. So we got some costumes and we've got some hats and trick-or-treating bags. So anything for the little kids too. So they seem to be more at home than their parents.
So what have you been doing with the kids during the daytime besides Halloween?
Well, they've got those inflatable bouncing places right there. There's coloring books right there. There's games downstairs. They want to watch TV too. Can we put a monitor in there for them to do? And then also like games. And most of the folks are working down here. It's like they know how to entertain kids.
So do you think the magnitude of this tragedy has begun to sink in?
Yes. It happens in the movies. Alaska is the safest place on earth. And then, no, it's like, I can't believe the typhoon kicked in. I can't believe our homes floated away. It's like, that really happened. And yesterday, when I was checking with folks, they're crying. They're tired. They're very frustrated now. The frustration start to kick in now where they need a break from here. It's like, they're frustrated. They want a home. And then it's like, they don't want to stay here in the city. That's not their home. The tundra out there is their home, that they're hoping for relocation. They're frustrated. And it's like, you know, reality sunk in. It's like, that really happened.
What have you seen over the past week evolve in the mood of the people?
So we're there for a lot of support. They're starting to talk about what happened. They're sharing their pictures, their cell phones, their videotaping there. So they're tired. They're tired. They want to go home. They're grieving. They're grieving lots.
In some ways, you can see how difficult this is for anybody that would suddenly be uprooted and with their future uncertain. If you have a disaster in another community in the lower 48, it's not like you're going to have to move to an area or spend time in an area where you don't know the language, the culture. This seems very different compared to other disasters.
Yeah, it feels like so unreal that it happened. And like elders here, who are our leaders, I checked in with them and they are taking it day by day. These are where we get our support from. And they're looking for us for support. And I asked them what they need. How did you sleep last night? How? And then all they can do is like taking it one day at a time. That's all they can do.
Do you admire that?
I really do admire that. And that gives me a tool that I can use, taking it one day at a time.
That was KNBA's Rhonda McBride talking with Tess Chanarak, a counselor who works for the South Central Foundation. South Central and the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium are among the organizations working with families sheltering in Anchorage. The numbers of those in emergency shelters is gradually shrinking. Some families are staying with relatives in town or have been moved into temporary housing. This is KYUK News. I'm Evan Erickson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yoktun Ganunchit coming up.